there are in the world about 80 books in 20 languages, and I'm sure you all read at least one of them, right? And if you haven't read one of these books yet, you go out and buy one out there, because they're all, they're part of you out there, right? So at least you go away with this latest book, which is there. Okay, Erwin, please have the floor. We're very grateful that you're taking the time to be here.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Introduction, I just want to add that I only wrote each one in one language. And now that we are translating into Dutch, I should be learning Dutch, and I just learned a new word today. Read! That's what we need, right? I have also been reflecting on the answer to I've been asked to tell you why I think that this turnaround will come from the Netherlands. And I have the answer. One is because you are Dutch. And two is that you're here. And that was a pretty good guarantee for me. Let me get down to the business. I have very much appreciated Herman Weifel's ideas, and I don't know if he told me, I don't know if it was interpreted in what he said just now. Turning around, turning back, using a new rationality when things have to change. This recalls a saying of another great man who, for some reason, wasn't Dutch. He was called Einstein. And he said that you can't solve a problem with the same kind of thinking that created the problem. And it seems to me that this is the reason, this is the rationality, the reasoning that Herman Weifel also suggests, which I think is absolutely correct. We are entering a period of what in science we call non-linearity, a period of change, of sudden change, of systemic change, a period when you don't solve problems by touching up, retouching, by plastic surgery of the old things. A period when you have to move ahead with radically new ideas. Somebody once asked me, actually 2 days ago, if evolution always has to be a revolution. And my answer is, evolution is revolutionary. But not always. Periodically, it's revolutionary. We're entering such a period today. Could I get some of the slides that I brought along? Well, if you have the cosmos in terms of a concentric spheres around you, your family, your society, humanity, the biosphere, the solar system, the galaxy, the whole universe. And you still have to remember that you have to put the human being in the middle. Human being as both man and woman. Human being is human emergence, human development. And when we talk about change and evolution, we are talking about the change of the human being. How does this change occur? And here I must tell you, it occurs in a very different way than we used to think. We used to think that change occurs little by little. Change occurs stepwise. And there is a continuity which has been defined as progress. From time to time, things are going to get better and better, things get bigger and bigger, and therefore we can trust that next year is going to be the same as this year, only more so. And we're entering an end of a period when that happened. A bit more for a while. And now we're entering a period of non-linearity. Indeed, all of evolution, in my field was evolution theory, it consists of what once a biologist described as the rhythm typically of the life of a village policeman. The village policeman experiences long periods of boredom interspersed by short periods of terror. In evolution, we have long periods of relative stability. Little change, adaptive change. And that's the kind of change that Darwin had in mind when he developed his theory of evolution. And that's the kind of change that an English gentleman can accept. You don't make major changes after all. This is the way everything has been, this is the way it's going to be. You make little improvements here and there. And that is happening. But in between, there are other things that are happening. In between, there are sudden, abrupt changes occurring. Every complex system that we know, whether it's an artificial system, whether it's a galaxy, whether it's a biochemical system, it's an ecological system or an organic system, reaches the end of a period of stability. And that end of the period of stability comes something that we call chaos. Chaos not as a lack of order, not as anarchy, but chaos as the point where a system is so sensitive that small changes can bundle together, can penetrate throughout the system, and the system as a whole can change. My suggestion is for you that we are at the beginning of such a period, at the beginning of a period of creative chaos. Up to us what we do with it. We are at a point that technically we would call a point of bifurcation. A point of bifurcation is very easy to visualize, very easy to conceptualize, especially in Holland, because it is like riding a bicycle. When you ride a bicycle, if you don't want to fall off, you mustn't stop. You would have very difficulty going backwards. But you can go forward and you can keep your balance if you find the right way forward. Now, we must go forward. We have reached a point of an instability where the old is disappearing and giving rise to the new. One thing here to emphasize, it is a fallacy to think that the new comes about because people become wiser and because people all of a sudden recognize that they want to do things differently. The new comes about when the old breaks down. In nature, in the universe, in the human world. The question is, how far do we have to go with a breakdown before we learn that we have to innovate? If we have to learn that we have to change the course. We have to learn what this is, the first drawing that you have seen here, that we are in front just before the waterfall. And you better have a read, rain, right? I hope we can recognize. Because right now, we have two ways in front of us, two paths. A path that leads to increasing tension, violence, increasing poverty, increasing gap between rich and poor, between different cultures, and between man, human beings, and nature. This is one path, and it's a path that can only lead to a systemic breakdown. Not the end of humanity, not the end of the world, but the end of a period that could be chaotic, that could be catastrophic, could be high levels of conflict, high levels of stress. And then you know that today I'm told that there are 30,000 nuclear warheads at hair trigger alert. At any moment they can be put into action. And if that kind of power to destroy the entire world, then to go toward a breakdown situation is a high risk gamble. Sure enough, we will change. But when we change it, when we change in time, we will turn around in time. When we have people like Hermann Bartels and the helm, I think we will manage it. But how many Hermann Bartels are there in the world? I hope there will be more and more. For now, there's one. So, let's move back. We are at the present time at a situation where where we are moving towards higher levels of conflict. Military conflict, economic conflict, cultural conflict, ecological breakdown. Have we reached a point of irreversibility? Here I just recall attention to an article that I've seen yesterday morning on the cover story of Time magazine. Time magazine has very clearly, it's the age of speech, says we are in climate change, we have reached the tipping point. The tipping point is what I call the point of bifurcation. The tipping point is where you can't make it back again. Can't turn it back again. Can it be catastrophic? The author of Gaia Theory, the famous biologist, English biologist James Lovelock, published a book last month in which he says that for the next 100,000 years, climate change is going to be so profound that the only place where people will be able to live is near the Arctic zones. Much of Europe will be very cold. So you wouldn't have to worry about being flooded because there may be so much ice that you won't even be flooded. But have we reached the tipping point? I personally believe that we haven't. There is still time. Because human society, and not only nature, operates by bifurcations, by sudden changes. And so let's see what can we do to move from the negative to the positive. The task is this. The task is to move from a breakdown path to a breakthrough path. My current work is devoted to trying to spell out what is involved in this tack, in this change, from one direction to another. Many ideas that we have to be reversed. Many new ideas have to come. So, if we can do this, and movement has to start, it starts with the individual, starts with our values, starts with our consciousness, and spreads in the world. It tells you that we must have new thinking to solve the problems that are in front of us. I believe it can be done, and in the next few minutes that I have available to me, I'm going to try to say what is really involved. Where we are going, first of all, is just the last slide I want to show you, is toward a new civilization. The alternative to the new civilization is not the old civilization, the alternative is breakdown. If you want to reach a stable and peaceful, sustainable civilization, we have to overcome the current problems by creating a new mindset, a new consciousness, new institutions. Just a couple of words about the new civilization. I try to look at the basis of cultural anthropology, at the major stages of the evolution of civilization. And you come up with these stages, that there is a period of mythological civilization. The whole world is alive. You're always surrounded by everything that you do as a sense, as a meaning. You are part of the world, and the whole world has a soul. It's a soul civilization. This was for 99% of the time of human species on Earth, we lived in civilization's life. Then came the great civilization, which actually were theistic, were theocratic concepts, where you said there is a divine order, and we have to emulate the divine order here. We have to realize all there's an order that has been preordained in the cosmos. And the great classical civilizations of Egypt, Babylonia, China, India, etc., they have been civilizations of this. Then the Greeks have invented something fabulous. The Greeks said, let's try to reason out on the basis of our experience what kind of order we want. And use logos, use reasoning. And they started using this Plato and Aristotle and all the Greek philosophers, a logistical system, logos as the principal rule, as the principal element, factor of creating human civilization. And they created the city-states, the Romans used this, etc., you know, the history. And then in the Middle Ages, in Europe. We had a strongly theocratic elements in it. But since the rise of the modern age, we're using reason. Only what kind of reason? I'm suggesting to you our logos that we are using in the past 100 years is antiquated, it's materialistic, it's fragmented, it looks at the individual as a separate entity, separate from nature, separate from each other. That is not what the new sciences are telling us, that is not probably what we really are. So we have to move to a new way of thinking, and the new way of thinking is holistic way of thinking. Thinking in terms of goals, evolving goals. Look at the planet as a quasi-living system. It's not that the economy incorporates the planet by the nature. It is, normally in economics it says that nature is a part of the economic system. You can ignore it or not ignore it, there are different theories, but it's looked at as a subsystem. But it's the other way around. The economy is the part of nature. Because human society is a part of nature. We are part of this whole system that evolves stepwise, and right now it is on the edge, on the threshold of a sudden quantum leap. And it's up to us what we do. In the remaining 2 minutes that I have, or 3 minutes that I have, I'd like to suggest to you one key idea. Let me first just put on one nice slide more. The ethical framework, I hope you appreciate that the ethical framework is in the form of a tulip. Because I believe that we've got to move from the egoistic ethics to a planetary ethics, which encompasses society as a whole, encompasses the biosphere as a whole. They are responsible for all of this. Okay, but what I promise, a couple of key ideas. It's always asked, and ever since I've worked with the Club of Rome from the beginning and now with the Club of Budapest, is it possible that we stop growing? Is it possible that we just stay like that? It's probably not, and it's not desirable. The question is, what kind of growth? It's not a question of whether to grow or not to grow, it's how to grow. And here I found a very useful concept to distinguish between two kinds of growth. Of course, we all distinguish between quantitative and qualitative growth. But I'd like to suggest to you this even more basic division. And that's the distinction between extensive growth and intensive growth. Now, I would define extensive growth as colonizing more and more territory, using more and more resources, and imposing your will on more and more people. The main tools of extensive growth are military might, are economic power, the power of advertising, our conviction. Extensive growth is basically colonization, conquest. And we have been practicing this. And now we colonize almost all lands. A smaller group of people, a minority, is controlling more and more of the wealth, controlling more and more of the power, until we are in a situation where the system is no longer sustainable. So extensive growth has to stop in this form. Growth can continue, but intensively. Now what does that mean? To become angels all of a sudden? I don't think so, we can't expect that. But we can turn to other forms of growth. We can think more about the nature of our relations to each other. We can think more about how we create communities. We can create more, better functioning systems of distributing wealth and having a better distribution of power in the world. We can think about a higher level of values, and therefore a new kind of thinking, creating a higher quality of life. It's entirely possible. There are many people already, and I suppose a sizable majority, perhaps all of you belong to these. Sometimes they're called the culture of creatives, sometimes they're called the new culture, the alternative culture. People who are looking for a higher quality in their life and not just amassing more material goods and using more energy. So I think this kind of development is in front of us. We have to bring it to the surface. There are too many people who are doing this, and too many others who are ignoring it. I believe Grandma Weichel's mentioned this, how we have to connect these groups. We have to move in such a way that the new culture, oriented toward a growth of consciousness, growth in values, growth in our relationship to each other and to Mother Earth, that this new culture will become more powerful. Empowered. Empower the individual so the individual can empower our society. We can do it. We can communicate with each other. We have all the means of doing this. We have enough energy. We have enough money. How do we use it? Stuck it into armaments? Have it in the pockets of a few corrupt leadership cadres in many parts of the world? Or do we use it for human development? We have the sun. We have alternative energy sources. We have new technologies. We can live on this planet. 8-9 billion people live. We can live well at a high quality of life. What is stopping us? Old thinking, old values, inertia. People think that we can still make do with the same way of thinking and behaving as we are up to now. It doesn't work. We have got to move. We have got to change course. And I think this is the message. I'm very gratified. I'm noting that this change of course seems to be emerging because more and more people are becoming aware that it's a necessity. It's not a question of wanting it or not wanting it. It is occurring. It's a question of wanting it in time. In time, so that we are not victims of change, but the masters of change. As it is said, we are the first generation in history who can decide whether we want to be the last generation. If you don't want to be the last generation, then we have got to rethink our values, develop our consciousness, grow into the human planetary dimension. I think we can do it, and if people in countries like yours, where there is a sufficient level of well-being, where there is choice, where there is information, if people in this country show the way, it could be a wildfire, it could spread, it could be a butterfly effect that there is all over the planet. And a few groups, headed by a few people like you have here, get together and start a human emergence that could spread, it could change the planet, and we could have a new civilization. So thank you for inviting me.
Out of the way so that you can stand up when it's necessary
and sit down with what is necessary. Because the simple one always works right. You get up and sit down when the one in front of you has gotten up, right? So what we're going to do with the simple one, we're going to start on this side. We're going to start with the first row, and the first row is going to stand up, then the second one, and the first one is going to go down. So we go up from here all the way up there. And when the last row is standing up, this one is going up there. And when they're standing up, you're going. Then they're going, and you're going. And we're going to do this just for a few times, but let's see.
Yeah?
So, go ahead.